Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And I said that quite aggressively. I said, this is Paul Hawksby. Why did I say it like that? It's weird. Anyway.
I'm bitter about Rubin winning that last race.
I'm not bitter, I'm bittersweet. But anyway, we had another day at Cheltenham, myself and Andy, day two. And Andy, you've got the menu of what we're going to be able to listen to now in the podcast.
Yeah, the opening diary, that was fun. And then Callum Scott-House, a fine actor, came in. We had a chat with him. We went for a whiskey tasting, didn't we?
Oh, we did, yeah.
That was good. We had a chat with Charlie, he was on good form. He did a fashion report.
He did.
It was really interesting. And then we met Millie Stennett.
Yes, who's a TikToker and HGV driver. That's a combo you don't get every day. She was great, wasn't she?
She was. So that's it. There you have it.
Yeah, there you have it. Enjoy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And one of the joys of having two new producers with us here at Cheltenham this year, Rufus and Rubin, included your predictions for the walk back into town, which was so accurate, or the road to Hades, as we call it. And they were all there, the bagpiper with the Dizzy Gillespie cheeks, Dizzy McGillespie.
He's good, yeah.
The people with acoustic guitars singing Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah, it's basically, if you walk back into Cheltenham after racing, it takes about 35, 40 minutes. It's a sea of drunkenness and stupidity generally. But the touchstones are, I think, a bunch of cubs and scouts selling sweets and drinks.
They were there, yeah.
They were there. At least three buskers playing Champagne Supernova or Look Back in Anger.
Wonderwall.
Yeah, Wonderwall. So,
they also included your predictions where you'd be stopping off for your mid-walk reliever.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
It was exactly right. Yes. It was tremendous.
Using Andy's lose. That's quite a little sideline of yours.
I do very well out there every year. I don't like having to clean them, though, at the end of the festival.
No, it's not
really terrible.
You get up at like 4 in the morning and get down there with your brush. That's true. There is a company called Andy's Lose. We're not just making that up. They are big in the loo business.
Talking of that, one of the biggest hazards here at Cheltenham is people breaking wind in front of you. Honestly.
Is it one of the biggest hazards?
Oh, it's disgusting. Honestly, it happened twice to me yesterday.
Yeah.
The bloke I was standing behind in the queue for the tote and pasties. I think there's actually a hole in the ozone layer over Cheltenham.
I think there is. I mean, we're slightly worried. We're above the Guinness Village. And we're
Greta Thunberg's in there. She's protesting.
I think so. I'm not surprised. We could get methane poisoning. Because it does rise, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, one of us passes out, we'll know what it is. But people seem to think they're on an aeroplane. The way sometimes people on an aeroplane think they can get away with it. They're standing in a queue at the tote and they think, no one can hear me. Oh, yes, they can. It's like all bets are off.
It's true.
Anything else from the diary?
Well, lots more. I noticed that the ratio, I can't read my own writing, between men and women at the festival is mad. There's so many more men than women. There's one Lizzie Kelly for every 85 Rupert Bells.
Really?
That's my
What an horrendous form that is.
And I had FOMO, didn't I, last night?
That was fantastic. As Andy went to bed, we were watching the Arsenal game. We got to the end of the penalty. Did you stay for the penalty?
No, I didn't stay for the penalty. I couldn't be bothered.
So that's right. So he clears off early, and then the self-fulfilling prophecy, which is just about as you'll go to bed, Rupert Bell will wander over with a bottle of red wine in his hand, scuppering any plans you had. Happened again for the
Rupert's
second
late
night.
Flurry. It is.
And yeah, you saw the picture of Rupert turning up and Lizzie and her husband and everybody.
I know, it looked fun.
And you kids and your FOMO, you had to get dressed and come back down again. You should have come down in your sort of James Finlayson, that one of those white hats and the long white gown and the socks that you wear for bed.
Would have been good.
Yeah.
There was a bloke in the hotel bar, though. He said to the barman, have you got a wine list? And the barman said, no. And the bloke looked a bit annoyed and he said, well, can I have a San Miguel? And what do you want a wine list for then? Not exactly Petrus, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. And Rufus has been entertaining.
Our producer, yes.
Our producer, he's tremendous. A great question from him at breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
Who invented the fork?
Who invented the fork? I did point out, don't open with it. He had another one as well. What was his other line? Oh, yeah, he said, what is it about moths that they always fly towards light? I was thinking, this set does need a lot of work. This is the stuff you want to workshop in the middle of the set. Yeah,
great. And the distance to our rooms is mad. Yeah. We've talked about this. Yeah. I mean,
well, I've got a sponsor now. It's fantastic. Raising money for Sporting Memories every time I go back to the room.
Rufus wanted to order a cab to take him there.
That's right.
But it's mad because Ruben, our youngest, and producer with us, the youngest person, he's by far the nearest. He's in room 303.
That's right.
You're about 3 minutes down the corridor.
Exactly.
And as we all walked back together, he went, oh, room 303, this is me.
It great, isn't it? Yeah. He said also, he said yesterday, he's a bright young thing, isn't he? He's got it all. So he's effortlessly stylish, good-looking boy.
Very good.
We all hate him. And he said yesterday, I'm going for a swim in the morning.
Yes. Does anybody want to come and watch me?
I'm going for a swim. It's not Saltburn, mate. What's the matter with you? I want to watch you swim.
It was really quite poor.
Anyway.
He didn't make it anyway.
No.
We'll put a call.
Oh, yeah, we were in a cab last night. And we're getting a cab back. And we all put our seatbelts on. And Andy couldn't find his belt. And he was struggling and struggling. In India, I said, look, don't worry, mate. At your age, you're just collateral damage.
Thanks.
Who's going to care?
Oh, my, but you
really? Who's going to care?
I know,
it was cruel, but
it's cruel, but
true as well.
Very much.
Anyway.
True. Okay.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've got a bit of a texter for the listeners, if you want. Do you remember we were talking about last night? We were having a delicious Japanese meal.
Oh, fabulous, very good. Really. Yeah. Succulent Japanese meal.
And somehow we ended up with, come on, give us your Japanese edible cricketers.
Very niche.
Ramen Saburo.
That was it. Yeah.
Don Buri Bradman.
Yeah.
And your best one, I thought, was Sashimi Anderson.
Yeah, Sashimi Anderson. Well, he will be knighted in the end, won't he? We know
that's
that.
That's right. So, bowling Katsu.
Yeah, that's it. That was.
But I'm sure the listeners will come
that's
up.
That's what we do in our spare time, believe it or not.
Well, that's right. What else is there?
So, I tell you what, we're going to have a chat. I think we're going to get Callum Scott-Howes on because I think Phil's of an age where it takes him a long time to get up the stairs.
That's a bit harsh.
So, yeah, we're going to be having a chat with Callum very shortly. Callum's in a new film. I say a new film because we've been chatting to him about it for a while.
Is this the one with Michael Sheen?
Yeah, it's called The Beautiful Game. Well, it's got a great cast, Bill Nye, etc. Callum, it's lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you too. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. You came, I mean, we've laughed about this a lot. We were talking about it earlier in the week. You'd never been racing till we invited you to Cheltenham a couple of years ago.
And now I'm an expert.
Yeah.
2 years later.
That's right.
I actually own 5 horses.
But I never, like that afternoon you were saying, how do I put a bet on? By 2 hours later, you're rushing out to watch the race saying, I've got a reverse Yankee on this one. What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I've forgotten all that now 2 years later. So remind me all of it again, please.
So you've made your way from Bath. I believe you're in a play, because I think Dominic West was on Graham Norton and he was talking about this play. And that's when I knew you were going to be in the area for the festival.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm in Bath at the moment. We're doing A View from the Bridge, the Arthur Miller play.
Oh, wow.
And we're there. We actually close on Saturday. However, we're coming into the West End over the summer. So we'll be there for 12 weeks in the Haymarket. For 3 months it'll be, and it's a great play. I'm very proud of it, and Dom's brilliant in it.
Doesn't he live in Bath? Or
he does. He lives
local like, for it.
Yeah, he's a local.
Lives round the corner.
So stage door is stacked every night with all of the locals because they absolutely love him there. So it's great, and it's lovely to be in Bath. I love it around here. It's lovely, and the city have really welcomed us with open arms.
It's a great place.
Should congratulate you on Cabaret. You were the MC, and obviously you're an actor. And you act, and you
was on the Royal Variety Show.
Yeah, amazing! I saw it on there. Wow, you really. That's a brilliant part to play, though.
It was the best fun. Like, it was the most fun I've ever had on a job. Yeah. Like, that show really is the best show in town until this summer, obviously, when we bring Move from the Bridge to town. But it is that show is like nothing else in the West End, and it's amazing. It's still going on now, so anyone who wants to go see it, please do it, because it's such
classic,
a spectacle.
Isn't it?
Exactly. And and that role for me was a real honour, because I was 23 when I played it, so I was quite a young MC, but God, I loved it, and the audiences are so brilliant. It's like a circus, that show. Every night you just don't know what you're going to get, really.
I barely recognised you in the role. It was like, you've got to do it, you've got to really sell it, haven't you? It's a brilliant part, but you've got to properly inhabit it, haven't you?
You really do, because it's an immersive show. You have to, you know, the audience are all around you all the time, so it's very physical. I had to kind of climb on top of everyone every night. It was so crazy, but I absolutely loved the show, and it was an amazing time. And I've really been lucky actually with theatre. Whenever I've not been sort of filming or doing telly or film, theatre's kind of welcomed me with open arms. It's been I love it, and I love it because it's so immediate. You know, you get to kind of really be. It's live every night. It's similar to what you guys do, I guess.
You know,
don't know what you're going to get.
Not really.
It's a sin, I think it's fair to say, Callum. Has been good to you. That part of Colin has just opened up so many doors. And that was a very early acting role for you.
Yeah, it was. It was my first job, my first ever. I was still in drama school, actually, when I got it. So I filmed it in my second year of drama school, and it was a very special job. And exactly, like, it was my platform, and everything I've got since really is kind of been off the back of that. I obviously worked very hard as well, but it was. I'm very lucky for that job. It was a very special one to do for my first.
One of your co-stars, now Ollie Alexander, is going to be doing
Eurovision. He's repping us all. It's so exciting. I couldn't believe it when it all came out. I was so. To be fair, nobody better could do it. He is not only an amazing songwriter, but an amazing performer. So I really hope he gets.
It's a good song, isn't it? I wonder if it's too good.
If he gets nil point, we should just give up. Forever.
Yeah, it won't.
Exactly.
It won't. It'll do very well.
It's a good song. It's a good track.
Yeah.
It's very Eurovision.
I really want to go. We're all trying to go. We all want to come out and support him. So hopefully we can go to Sweden.
Now, we've talked to you about the Beautiful Game for what seems like a couple of years.
For about 10 years now, we've been talking about it.
It's a film about the homeless World Cup, isn't it? But it's out. This month?
Yeah, so it's out at the end of this month. On the 29th of May, it drops on Netflix. So the week after next, we're basically going to be talking about it loads. But yeah, we filmed it 2.5 years ago. It's been a long gestation period for the movie. But you know what? I've watched it, and it's a really special film. It really encapsulates the tournament so well. Because obviously, the Homeless World Cup is a tournament that's been going for about 20 years. And Mal, who started the tournament over a pint with his mate. Mm. And it's changed millions of people's lives. So what's great is that I think what we know of the Homeless World Cup in the UK is that Michael Sheen hosted it in Cardiff. However, in this tournament is like the World Cup. It goes to a different country every year. Mm. And every country hosts it and sort of welcomes it into their city, into their capital city. So we're so excited about this film coming out, and I'm very proud of it. It's also based on a documentary by ESPN that Colin Farrell sort of presented, and he's actually an exec producer on the movie. So I'm very excited for people to see it. It's something I'm very proud of.
Who do you play in this?
So I play a character called Nathan, who is a recovering heroin addict. And he's based off of a real character in this documentary that the film is based on. So is a lot of the characters in the movie. And it's about the English team who go to Rome and take part in the Homeless World Cup. And Bill Nighy plays our coach. Michael Ward plays our newest player, Vinny, who has his own story. And he's the sort of lead of the film. But it's an action-packed, fun-filled film, and I can't wait for everyone to see it.
And there are lots of football scenes in it.
Oh, there's so many. Mike, our choreographer, he was our football choreographer, and he actually worked on the Goal movies. You remember those?
Yeah.
Sure. He worked on those back in the day, so it was actually such a pleasure to work with him. He's an amazing choreographer and coach. So we got to work with him for the 4 months we were out in Rome, and the football sequences are just brilliant. They're really real. You know, they feel like you're kind of on the pitch with us. So it's. It's
brilliant.
Very fun.
It's a great one for the TalkSport listeners, by the way.
Yeah, I really can't. Yeah. I can't wait for your listeners to watch it.
It's going to be on Netflix as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be globally on Netflix. And what's great about this movie is that although it's about the English team, every team in the world is kind of involved in the film somewhat. So it's really so exciting. It's very different for me as well, because normally I do kind of like, I've done very heavy things, and things are about kind of like really deep topics and themes. However, you know, this is about something really important, but also it's such like a feel-good movie. Like, you kind of leave the film feeling hopeful and also for me, I learned a lot about kind of homelessness and the kind of the spectrum of that. You know, it's not just one thing, it's a lot of different things, and homelessness means different things to different people. So it's the message of the film is really really amazing.
What about your skills, football skills?
Well, I'm gonna obviously back myself and tell you that I'm the best football player to come out of Chiocchi in years. But I love it. I love football, and obviously I'm a big Cardiff fan, and we're doing all right so far. We're 4 wins on the bounce at the moment.
Yeah,
so we're on
that's good. Yeah, you've had a good run. Kingmakers, you beat Ipswich the other day.
We did, and we got Swansea this week.
The derby.
The big derby. We've done the double over Bristol, now we've just got to do it over Swansea this Saturday. Yeah. And I am... I, I've got every hope that we'll do it.
Because we got Josh McEachran out, so we don't want any trouble if you see him.
Oh, well, tell him to stay away.
Brilliant.
And you've been in The Way, haven't you, on the
Yes, on BBC One. Yeah, yeah, which was another show I'm very proud of. It's a crazy show and a wild ride, but something I'm very proud of. It kind of talks about things that I think are really important for us to be talking about as a country right now, you know, about immigration, about sort of industrial action. It's things that, you know, really pack a punch. And working with Michael, working with Adam Curtis and James Graham was a real honour and a privilege. And I've been very lucky to work with great writers, and James is obviously one of the best.
Yeah, yeah, he's been a guest a few times, obviously, in talking about Dear England and
of
stuff.
Of course, yeah, the play, which they're now making great. Into a series.
That's right, yeah.
Dear Wales, you never know.
Yeah.
Dear Wales, who knows?
Well, I say Aaron Ramsey's back in the Welsh squad, we found out.
Yes.
So that's good news.
I was actually, I was in the same box as him on the weekend, actually, for the Wales, the rugby game.
Yeah.
And he looked brilliant. He looked really fit, and he was talking very positively. So hopefully, if not this weekend, sometime really soon, he'll be back on the pitch.
Good stuff. And is that right? You're going to be playing Holly Johnson in something that's coming up.
Really?
Is this a film or a TV show?
Yeah, it's a film. It's called Relax, and it's the Frankie Goes to Hollywood biopic.
There's a sort of look of you about him. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, he's an icon, and I feel very proud to be playing him in this film. It's very exciting. It's still early days, but very soon I can start talking about it properly, but it's right now we can get excited about it.
Is the Scouse accent coming on?
It's coming along. Right. It's in the background. I'm working on it every night.
It's a hard accent if you can't do it. I struggle with.
Well, give our love to your dad. He's not here today.
He's in Lanzarote today.
Yeah, he's a big Talk Sport listener, isn't he?
He loves you guys, and he's gutted he couldn't be here today, but he loves you guys. He loves the show, and big shout out to Keith Howells out in Lanzarote right now.
Good stuff. Well, Callum, lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you. Thank you so much for having me on.
We look forward to seeing the beautiful game. Enjoy the rest of your time with Dominic West in Bath. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Very soon. Thank you,
lovely
guys.
To see
you
all the best. Soon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, here we are in the Glen Farclash section of the course.
Yeah, we had to have our arms twisted to come here.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's
we
right.
Did, we
yeah,
did, really we under, didn't want to.
Under massive duress, Neil Phillips, the wine tipster, dragged us here, kicking and screaming. And difficult day for them because proud sponsors of this race for many years now, and as we all know now, the race has been called off because of the conditions. But I suppose in some ways, amount of mentions,
a lot of mentions
that Glen Farclash has had, because people say, "Oh, the Glen Farclash is off."
And people can come here in the spare half hour.
They can. They certainly can.
Meg's
from Glen Farclash is with us now. Hi, Meg.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. So, as I said, it's bittersweet, really. As we've said, from brand awareness, it's probably quite good, but it's sad you're not going to see your race.
Yeah. I think one of the saddest things as well is that our limited edition bottling has got the last 15 years of winners. So next year when we do the bottling, we're going to have to find a way to put something else on
really,
there.
Right. Yeah. You could just pretend.
Yeah.
But you're here every year, aren't you?
So yes.
And I mean, presumably it's a sort of marketing exercise that people exposed to the brand, that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It also allows people to the opportunity to try it as well.
Yeah.
So it's really good fun.
You two, you kind of do a roaring trade in whiskey cocktails, don't you?
Yeah.
That's kind of the main thing you're doing here. I'm sure people
sacrilege.
People come in for a dram, but mainly you're doing those. You're selling a lot of those.
Yeah. We find that the best way to enjoy Glenfarclas is your favourite way. So whether that's on its own or in a cocktail,
there we go.
Kind of however you want to
very
enjoy
good.
It.
Yeah. Very clever.
So maybe a little brief bit of history. It's a Speyside whiskey, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So we're based in Speyside. We're fifth generation family. Owned and we're still fully independent, so just at the bottom of Benrinners, so it's lovely. Very beautiful area. You do get the chance to visit.
You mean to get there at some stage. This is your favourite, and we were talking about this last week. I'm going to mention another brand now. I got you a Talisker 10 in, which is a bit of a favourite of mine. You liked it, but you said you do prefer the sort of
I do prefer these sort of Speyside sherryish type whiskey, so I'm looking forward to trying this.
Alright, well, we're going to try the 15, aren't we? So Neil is with us, the wine tips.
Yeah, so we're going to do left hand first, left hand.
Oh.
And it, no,
sorry.
You know what?
I think.
Do you know what? He's been building up for this for about 24 hours.
Yeah. I'll drink both at once. Don't worry about it.
Well, this is the 15. Yeah, we're going to start with that. Okay. Cheers.
By the way, the smell's absolutely fantastic. The aroma, and you can talk about those sherry casks as well.
Yeah,
smooth.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
It is. Mm. Yeah, you can taste the sherry.
I'm going to do the show. I can't.
As well, honey taste in it.
Oh, God.
It's great. Honey.
It's nice.
And we're having neat as well.
Raisins.
Yeah. Raisins.
You're getting a bit of that in there.
Yeah. Where do you stand, Neil, on a bit of water in it? Do you like it a little to open it up a bit, or a bit of ice?
I like a bit, I like a drop of, I'm very happy having neat or a drop of water in, but I do think it's kind of, sometimes I feel like now, I did have the Glenfarclas earlier as well, but I'm just saying, I'm really enjoying it neat, because of the finish, that sort of tanginess, we talked about the raisins as well.
The water does take that away, that is true.
Yeah. It can completely change the flavour of a whiskey, can't even just a little bit of water, you know.
Exactly. But
do you recommend them? Away, or as you said, people just drink it however they like.
Just drink it however you like it, really. Okay. The fun thing about Glenfarclas is that the recipe doesn't really change between the bottles, it's just the amount of time it's spent in the cask. You get the real sweet, smooth flavours.
And it's not always about the price, is it? Because, you know, a bottle of 15, what is it, about 60, 70 pounds? A bottle of the 25 is about 250, but some people prefer the 15. Yeah. It's just down to personal taste. It doesn't always mean that it's going to be more to your liking because you're spending more on it. So
I think that's the great thing about it, actually. It's just people going and just going, just finding their own stuff.
Yeah.
And how are we doing?
I haven't tried the 25.
Oh, no, we've got to do the 25.
I'm going to finish my 15.
Oh, he's going to finish the 15. Oh, God. Stage show, that's going to go right out.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
Backs every horse in the first. Anyway, here we go with the
25. This is the 25.
Oh, good Lord. There's almost no edge to that at all. It's amazing. That's incredible.
That's very good.
I'll just have my complimentary bottle now, thanks.
It's very rich, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You can see that sort of extra...
Wow. Those sort of full flavours. And the finish, I just feel that...
I'll take those for later off.
Oh, that's very nice.
Marvellous.
I can't remember the last time I tasted 25. That is fantastic.
I can't remember the last time I was 25.
Well, that's cracking. Thank you very much. So, I didn't quite know what to say after that, really. Slightly speechless. I may just sit here. You don't mind doing the show on your own here. That's some old soak in the corner. There we are. That's a bit of a whiskey taste. Andy's such a pro. Just the 25 years. The minute we come back off that pre-recorded section, he's got a great big mouthful of pasta.
Do stop it, Aggers.
It's like...
it's like Test Match Special.
It's got all crumbs round his mouth. He's just, honestly...
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
A piece of work.
You do.
It's what people want. Give the people what they want.
They want
Andy with a mouthful of pasta.
The idea was we're going to have half a pasta, but Andy's got a whole pasta.
Half a pasta.
Most of it in his lap and round his mouth.
It's like a tribute act to me, half a pasta.
Yeah. Arthur Pasty.
Hello, I'm Arthur Pasty.
Yeah.
Charlie Baker tribute act. Arthur Pasty.
Charlie Baker.
Yeah. That would be great, yeah.
Honestly, Ruben, have you sat on this pasty?
Oh, no.
What's wrong
now we're complaining about
so
the pasty.
Flat. Where's its height?
It's the place pasty. It's a kind of, I don't know what it is.
There we are.
Whiskey sounded nice.
Yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it?
A bit self-indulgent.
Is that why I had a punch-up before the show?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We had windmilling out on the concourse.
Exactly. Honestly, there's a sign just going like, pace yourself, allow one soft drink between every hour. It's good advice.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Even no one's going to take it.
Not that many people seem to be heeding it.
I haven't seen anyone taking that advice.
Yeah, because Charlie, you've been out and about around the course, and a bit later on, you took the pulse of the fashion. Yeah. It's Ladies' Day today.
It's Style Wednesday.
Okay.
It's what they're calling it. It's not called,
changed,
it's not called
it's,
Ladies'
it's
Day anymore.
Right, okay.
Style Wednesday, yeah. You know, which is always the way that you try and approach Cheltenham. I know, Andy, you like to dress up for Cheltenham, don't you?
Well, you look very stylish.
Well, I'm wearing a Charles Tyrwhitt coat today. Not that I've mentioned them at all today.
Oh, that's right.
And you've got Paula's shirt. Where's mine?
Is that a new coat?
This is a new coat. They give me a few things, but this is it's a little bit Del Boy. Isn't
well, it is.
But,
I mean, your dad was in the used car business.
He was.
It does look like you're just about to walk up to me and say, that one's not for sale, that's my wife's car. Only joking, of course. You've just gone up to one of the best cars on the lot.
What's your top price?
Yeah.
What's your top price?
What are you looking for?
That's what you open with. What's your top price?
Don't
what's
stand
your
too top? Near that Aston Martin showroom, honestly.
Yeah. Dresser, that would be great if you just stood outside there being really spivvy about Aston. What's your top price? 130 grand. Okay, well, I think we can get you in. Into one for that kind
just
of
just follow
money.
Me to the car park.
Yeah.
I've had no winners. I've not had one winner since I've been here.
Really?
Well, on the
I've
two
watched
days.
Seven races.
And you've had a little flutter on it.
Talkie last night. It's lucky you were going to go.
Please, I didn't go. I was Torquay v Taunton last night. Two clubs in trouble. Taunton Town are in trouble as well. Right. They're raising money. The Peacocks.
Yeah.
We speak to our friend in Japan sometimes.
We do. That's right.
Japanese Taunton Town fan.
Yeah.
Both clubs in
must be limited.
Yeah. I think he's the only one.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we got beat 3-0 last night. It was poor, but you know, at least on Vanarama TV, the picture just froze every 30
yeah.
seconds.
You paid. I mean, did
so for
£9.50,
I watched about a quarter of the match. And at least
is that your Wi-Fi or is it their problem? You think
that's their problem? It's right. always Vanarama TV. I don't know if it's called that. National League TV.
National League
before
TV.
Before I throw Vanarama
on
the bus.
TV, yeah.
Trying to lease me a bus, I expect, if I threw it under it.
So just to get us up to speed.
Yes.
Your club.
Torquay United, yes, we are.
Are you in administration?
We're not in administration. We are moving towards administration.
Okay.
There are buyers interested, I think.
Good.
We're told. The communication coming out of the club has become a lot better.
Good.
So hopefully something will be happen in the next 2 weeks. If not, we're in administration, we lose 10 points, and we might be playing even more regional football.
Wow.
I did enjoy, actually, when I was in Argentina, you comparing the Bombonera to Playmore.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's the same colours.
But it's yellow and blue, isn't it?
Yes.
The Boca region, it's all the yellow and blue.
Maybe they can bail you out. You can do a sort of tie-up with Boca Juniors.
I was hoping Paddy Power, actually. I was going to ask him. I thought it would be a really good... You know, Paddy likes a
get
PR
to buy
opportunity.
The club.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
a good
he?
Idea.
You know, it's a good opportunity, isn't it,
you could
Paddy.
Maybe have Brazilian Ronaldo playing for you. He's in their new promo.
In tremendous. The hole. He'd like a pasty.
Yeah.
By the looks of him.
I think he's had a few, to be honest.
I wonder if he's ever had a pasty. Ronaldo.
Has ever had
Brazilian
well, let's
Ronaldo.
If you know Ronaldo, you've met Ronaldo. Do you know if he's ever had a pasty or not?
I bet he doesn't have a half.
I don't see us getting a massive amount of comeback on that. Oh, we did ask you earlier on, because we're in the Japanese restaurant last night.
Oh, very
and,
nice.
I come on with Ramen Saba Ro.
Oh, right.
And then we went, come on, let's have your Japanese food cricketers.
Oh, yeah.
So we should thank Andy in Newport for teriyaki alderman, of course. He's got to
nice.
Be in there.
Yeah, sashimi Anderson. There you go.
Well, very nice.
Yes. Sean Noodle. Noodle.
Sean Udon.
We have got Sir Garfield Yaki Sobers from Hague.
Well, that's the winner. That's a good
one.
That's
very good, isn't it?
Yeah. What else have we got? Paul Teriyaki, the Hampshire coach.
Yeah, very nice.
Bit niche.
Bit
and
similar.
Mick from Hounslow gave us Jason Soy, of course, the fine England player. Thank you, Mick.
Why there's not in Cheltenham a sushi restaurant called the Cheltenham Raw?
That's a good idea, yeah.
Oh, absolutely should be one, shouldn't there?
Should
the
be.
Cheltenham
limited,
Raw,
though,
isn't it?
Yeah,
just once a year.
Yeah.
What's a sushi restaurant that only opens once a year?
Yeah, try and take that into Dragon's Den.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
On our way up to Cheltenham, we were reading a little bit in a paper about our next guest, who has made the unusual jump from HGV driver to TikTok racing sensation. Millie Stennett joins us. Hi, Millie.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
It's a great pleasure, yeah. So you started doing some stuff around, but more not around horse racing, around sort of equestrian stuff that you were interested in.
Yes, so I am a show jumper. So that is what I started making videos about, not so much show jumping, but just equestrians in general, just the stereotypes and just taking the mick out of relatable things we all do. So that's how it started. So yeah, I've show jumped from a young age, but that's when I decided to get my HGV license, because I wanted to drive my horses around. Sure. And my dad owns a haulage firm, so that's how I got the job driving HGVs.
Right.
Yeah, so I did TikTok on the side and I was a lorry driver.
That's amazing. But I think racing would love to have TikTok involvement. Everybody wants TikTok viral involvement, but especially racing when they want to appeal to a younger audience.
Yes, definitely, because, you know, Facebook and everything like that, it is the older generation, but TikTok is the app that people use nowadays that are sort of around my age. So.
Yeah.
And just to show people that you can have such a great time at the races and not know about horse racing, I think it's just a great thing to be able to do.
As you sort of build an audience for something like that, you're doing these kind of, sort of funny equestrian things. So it must be something you kind of watch it build. Do you have to work hard at that, or did it sort of happen organically? How did it all work?
So just consistently posting. I mean, at first I just would post sort of once a week and I thought, oh yeah, they're doing quite well, I don't mind this. And then as time went on, I realised the opportunities it opened up for me. That's how I ended up working for Race Day and on Racing TV, because they saw me on TikTok. So I thought, actually, if I post every day and, you know, put thought and time into this, I could do this as a job. And that is now what I do. So,
wow.
And you're only 20, aren't you? You sound a lot older, but I mean, you are only 20. Which is amazing that you've done all this.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, no, I did my HGV license when I was 18, so I passed at 19. So I had a year of driving. So it's not the usual job a 19-year-old girl has.
That's right.
Something to fall back on as well. Yeah,
exactly. Well, if it all goes wrong, you know what? I've still got a job.
Get back in the wagon.
Exactly.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, it's it must be a good, when you turned up for the test, they must be thinking, yeah, this is not what we normally expect an 18-year-old.
Yeah, literally. Also, because I'm quite small, these lorries are massive.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they're just so long. They're like, they carry like 40 tons. They're big. So when this tiny little girl's climbing up the steps and getting in, the examiner probably thought, what on earth? But I passed first time.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Parking must be quite tricky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still not great at parking.
I can't even park a smart car.
Honestly, I've seen him in a Fiat 500. He'd be an absolute... the hellish thought of you behind the wheel of an HGV, Andy, is quite terrible.
So, Millie, what are you doing here at Cheltenham? What's work-wise?
Yeah, so I'm here with Race Day. So I've been going around today having loads of fun, just asking race goers what they've been up to, outfits of the day. I've been over to the Fairfax and Favour stand and had a chat with them. We've just been going around making TikToks and reels for Race Day, really. No, it's been a great day.
So we can find you on Race Day TV, is that right?
That's where it's all there. Yes, on their TikTok and Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Do you have a handle or is it just your
name? Oh, yeah. So my TikTok is just my name, Millie Stennett. So you can find me on there. And same with my Instagram. It's just my name. Pretty easy to find.
Right. Pretty easy. And what you said you ride from an equestrian point of view.
Yes.
Do you like to be a jockey? Do you watch these guys and girls over the fences and think, I wouldn't mind giving that a go?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I do ride out point-to-point horses. It's very different to actual horse racing, I know, but I do love it. It's such an adrenaline rush when you're galloping. I do love it, but it's very dangerous. So I'm not sure if I'd want to. But at the same time, it looks incredible. So maybe.
Wow, brilliant. Well, look, continued success then with the career. I hope it all goes.
Thank you so much.
It's amazing that you've kind of turned it into a full-time occupation.
No, thank you very much. Yeah. Now I'm very, very lucky with how it all went for me. So
and how are you as a tipster, finally, Millie? How have you been getting on today?
You know what? I've never placed a bet.
Oh, really?
Fun fact: I've never placed a bet just because I don't know what I'm looking at. With these horses, I obviously...
It doesn't stop us.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't stop many people. But yeah, like...
If everybody thought like that, the bookies would be out of business.
Don't listen to me. Keep betting. No, I only know show jumpers. It's so different. I just think, I'm not going to bet because I think once someone asked me, oh, which horse do you think will win? I think I bet the one with the worst odds. So that's why I've never put money on it.
Well, they can win. As I said, we've been here before. People have said, you know, I've got to dress that colour. I'm going to, as the same colour as the silk, so I'm going to put...
It's true, and it's worked. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's not always scientific.
No, it's crazy why people place a bet on a horse, isn't it? They'll just, I like its name.
Yes, exactly.
Money.
Well,
yeah,
they can
insane.
Work. Millie, thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you. Good to see
thank
us. Millie Stennett there. Go and check her out on Race Day TV and on TikTok. and all other social media outlets.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So Charlie Baker has rejoined us, yeah. And it's Style Wednesday. What was Ladies Day is now Style Wednesday.
Yeah, yes. I like it.
And we've seen the dress code change last year. The Jockey Club wanted to be a bit more relaxed. If you felt comfortable in jeans and trainers,
yeah,
that was fine. Sockley Park, Andy's glove puppet pal, is wearing denim today, which he would never have done before. He was all tweed when he came here. Like he's a real person.
He is. What are you on about?
But Charlie, you went out and about, yeah, and you caught up with some of the people that have come here today for
race. Yeah, some of the punters round and about the course, and some people have taken it one way,
yeah.
Others have gone the other, Paul.
Okay.
You know, and it's not always, you know, few of the lads in the middle as well. So, you know, I've spoken to them. Should we hear them?
Let's hear what went on.
Let's hear it. Charlie Baker, TalkSport. We're asking people what they're wearing today. It's Style Wednesday.
I've got Prada sunglasses. Yeah. I've got the Barber Wax jacket. Yeah. I've got the shuffle on.
We had a special deal at Primani.
Oh, very nice.
Superb.
Very nice.
They do actually do a Cheltenham clothing range in Primani.
Going to go. ASOS is empty this afternoon.
No. Missed the guild.
I've got a combination of Catherine, Burberry, All Saints,
Diesel.
Oh, right,
all the stuff.
Spade,
yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, charity shop. Yeah.
All right, bud. Cheers. Thanks a lot. Yeah. What the hell are you wearing?
What the hell am I wearing?
Love your green suit.
Thank you.
Where's it from?
Zara.
Zara, bit of Zara action. Yeah. Aiden, you've got a full three-piece suit on there.
I have, yeah.
Where's it from?
It's Gucci.
Is it Gucci?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have a look inside the label. Yeah. It is. It's next.
I'm okay? More interested in the racing. No,
I know. I'm
style.
Sure you are.
Yeah. Well, it's Gucci.
Sure, wasn't it?
I mean, it doesn't take a
like
lot.
The jackets people are wearing.
It doesn't take a lot to catch a bloke out. All you got to do is just move his jacket back and see necks there. Not there's anything wrong with necks.
Do you know, there's a lot more of these days.
What's that?
Secondhand fashion.
Yeah.
That people bought things
vintage.
Like vintage, yeah, and vintage. Funny,
well,
those sorts of things.
In the shopping village, they've got a kind of used, and people with for about 50 quid, you can get yourself a nice dead man's jacket.
You were quite tempted. You almost bought another dead man's jacket, the full thing.
It was
a bit musty in that corner,
yeah,
though, I had to
it
be
was
honest.
It was a touch musty over there. You'd want to give it a dry clean before
it
you
was
wore
a bit moth-pawly, and of course, Rufus, he loves a moth.
He does love a moth, yeah. It's part of his opening set, of
now,
course.
Charlie, tomorrow, we forgot to instruct you, but Simon here, who's our tech op, excellent.
Hello,
tech.
Simon, yeah.
He has a thing.
I wanted to do that, was it?
We remember from last year. He has a thing that he collects recordings of famous people saying the word trousers.
Oh, how lovely. Yeah.
I know,
it's all weird.
No. So, I meant to ask
and
Callum.
And there I was thinking he was an oddball in the corner.
I meant to ask Callum Scott Howe to say trousers.
Oh, wow.
It would have been lovely, but he forgot.
Oh, I'm looking. Simon, are you still collecting them actively? He is.
He is.
He's still on trouser watch.
His hair is tremendous, isn't it?
It really is.
Yes.
If you want
to know what it looks like, Google the old comedian Max Wall.
Oh, okay.
A bit of Michael Bolton, I was yeah, thinking more along the lines of
that. It's quite good.
He doesn't want to be the star of this section.
Of course not.
But
so trousers.
He
so
does,
who
he
has he had? Who has he had saying trousers in the past?
Who have you had saying trousers?
Famous people you've got saying trousers. Anybody?
He's got to come out. He's a technical guy.
I've got myself on mic, Charlie. Yeah, I've got basically lots of comedians, lots of clips from radio programmes and QI and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Just people with funny voices, really.
Oh, okay.
Saying trousers.
Saying trousers.
I mean, this is the sort of thing these days that will get you on Strictly.
Yeah.
If you do it enough and get enough hits, you'll be there as an influencer, a trousers influencer.
I can't see Simon doing Strictly.
Well, I don't know. He's got the hair.
He's got the hair, you know.
Give him a spray tan.
I mean, I'm not sure he would have been on their A-list.
Sorry, Simon.
And he would have worked his way down. They would have worked, you know, as they often do when they're looking to put a celebrity show together.
So we're going to get that tomorrow. We have a big long list of people saying trousers.
Yeah,
well,
but they have to be famous.
Out?
That's not the only thing we plan to do.
3 hours of that.
Indulgent.
Sounds a lot.
Could be. I mean, we're really pushing our luck, I think. As much as we do already.
If you go in and out of it.
If you can get Willie Mullins to say the word trousers, I'll give you a tenner.
I wouldn't get near Willie Mullins in this.
Really. Be wrestled to the ground.
You've seen, I had to find Willie. Who have I gone with today? James Haskell.
Yeah.
James Haskell. Yeah. I was just walking past him. I wasn't really allowed to speak to him.
Yeah.
You know, just he's a big lad. He was limping, so I could catch up with him quite
easily. Oh, okay.
That's good.
You know, so that was quite good. So, Yeah, but okay. I'll look out for that tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic. Brilliant. That's good.
What else you got on tomorrow?
What else we got on tomorrow? We got Mark Burcham, a friend of the show.
Oh, Birch.
Canada and QPR midfielder.
Back from Lake Como, is he?
Yes, he is. He's long back. He was at the Grand Prix at the weekend.
Wasn't he manager of Barbados and then manager of Lake Como?
He's had some great... Yeah,
he gets some very nice holiday-based jobs.
He's going to be manager of Torremolinos. Yeah. It's Lanzarote
Club United. 1830 FC.
Basically a holiday destination.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Elixir de Nuts is coming under a bit of a pressure, but Gentleman Demis travelling sweetly under Mark Walsh, but Captain Guinness and Rachel Blackmore are challenging Edwardston. Tom Gannon giving it the full heave-ho into that latest fence and gets a good response. Edwardston, Captain Guinness, Elixir de Nuts' race is run, and so's Funabur Sivala, who's way off the pace. Now it looks to be a bit of a two-horse go now between Edwardston. Captain Guinness may just be travelling best of all.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely travelling better than Edwardstone. Gentleman Demis also being pushed along as well. It's very much going to be pretty tight.
Game on here for Captain Guinness. Now out in front, comes to the next. Rachel Blackmore is yet to it. Edwardstone tips up at that fence and gets up to his feet. He's all right. Captain Guinness now has the final fence. Will it be a queen mother for Rachel Blackmore? She's just hands and heels pushing up, but Gentleman Demis is rallying as Captain Guinness goes weave about in the final stages. But Gentleman Demis is rallying. Captain Guinness is almost legless out in front, but is just beginning to hold on. Rachel Blackmore gets home. On board, Captain Guinness. It was hard work. It was surprising. She looks ecstatic. She can't really believe it, because I'm sure she thought she may have been playing for the place at the start. But it is a fabulous victory for Captain Guinness. An exhilarating race, as this race is so often intoxicating. But it's Captain Guinness who's delivered the goods.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You name it, she's done it. And now this, the biggest two-mile race of them all, she's won it. So drama here, but Captain Guinness. And Rubin, what's he on? Because he's had a winner.
Yeah, 24 hours in this young boy's life. I'm slightly worried about the way it's going. Yeah. He's getting too good at this, and he may learn.
We're all so pleased.
Yeah,
for
we're
you.
So delighted for you. But that's the great thing, Lizzie, isn't it, about jump racing? You never know. Once they're over those, anything can happen. And there was a kind of collective groan down here, and I'm looking at everybody filing back after the race. There's a lot of long faces because El Fabiolo was in a lot of ackers, week-long ackers today. And that went, really.
Well, yeah, I got a message from Jeremy, the TalkSport 2 producer, and he said, what about El Fabiolo? I said, he definitely wins. I mean, that is exactly what this race is all about. You know, it's just so close. You know, the jeopardy is so close all the time. Edwardstone, for example, was... jumping so well, but he was so close to it going wrong, and eventually, you know, he folded on the landing side because he'd taken off way too soon. You know, just they're all a bit nuts, really, champion chasers, and they are just crazy.
I look forward to your next appearance on TalkSport 2. Where's Lizzie's microphone gone?
Oh, yeah, I think you're fine. That's right. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded this afternoon. We're back for day three at Cheltenham tomorrow. Mark Burcham, our old mate, will be here. Former QPR and Millwall midfielder. Steve Sidwell as well will be popping in from the world of football. Lots more live racing. Do hope you can join us from one, if not the podcast, available at 4. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.